ladies, enjoy that. I'm going to make a remark about Brother Jason, a very short one, because there ain't a lot to say. Then after that, I'll pray, and then we'll have our special. But seriously, I just want to say something. It's my chance to say something about him. I enjoy having. I like the group that we have right now. Not that I didn't like Brother Mike and Brother the other guy that was here, Brother Harrison. I'm just teasing. But I enjoyed when they were here as well. But I enjoyed the group that we have now. It's just a blessing being with them. Part of it is they're a lot younger, have a lot more energy, so I can kind of slack off a little bit. And I don't have to do as much. But Brother Jason is a blessing. If you have teenagers, you know that. But I want to say that to everybody. He's got a burden and a big heart for the young people here. He's a funny guy. He's a loud guy. you always hear him when he's coming down. Hey, Brother Don! You know, you always hear him when he's coming. But he's got that side of him, but he's got the very serious side. He loves the young people here, and I enjoy that. I have teenagers now in the youth group, and I'm glad that they're under his care, not only for the church kids that are here, but also for the bus teenagers as well. And I've seen him more than once out there preaching to the bus teenagers with tears in his eyes, wanting to get them to get the message that he has for them. So we'll hear him in just a minute, and we'll be glad for it. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you bless tonight. I ask Holy Spirit for your power to rest upon the preacher, Brother Minkowski, tonight. I pray that, Lord, you'd give us the ears to hear, dear Holy Spirit, what you have for us as well. I pray, Lord, that you just make this service a special time and help us to gain from your word in Christ's name. Amen.
Still at last, the house of Thank you, ladies. Well, it's very good to be here tonight. I would lie if I told you I wasn't nervous, but I was thinking earlier, why am I nervous? This is my church family. And I feel so at home here. I've been here 1 year, practically, and I feel so at home here. I call you my family. I mean that. I'm not just saying that because I'm looking for your sympathy or looking for an amen tonight. But I really mean that. And a lot of you were in, I was in the back hallway, were saying, go get them, Tiger. You can do it, Champ. I feel like I'm going for a boxing match, to be honest with you, not preaching. Yeah, I'm ready. Let's bring them on, you know. So, but I'm excited anyway. Thank you for the love you've shown me and my family. I can't thank you enough. A lot of emotion involved. I love this church. I love Pastor Angel. I love the people here. I love the staff. So, anyway, let's get into the message tonight. if you turn your Bible to two passages of Scripture, the first one is John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. John 15, verses 4 and 5. While I turn there, I just want to thank all of those who came out to the Turkey Bowl on Friday. We had about 10 people came. And fortunately, my team lost. I'm still mourning. Brother Ryan Harrison and company, Team Red, that team won it. But we'll get them next year. So next year, if you want to come out, I know it's Black Friday. Half of you slept overnight in your cars waiting for a computer or getting a mattress. But hey, if you don't want to come to Turkey Bowl, fine with me. I'll get over it. It's not bitter. But no, just kidding. Okay. John 15, verses 4 and 5. It says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And turn your Bibles now to Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. Passage of Scripture. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Before we get started tonight, I believe there are two words, that if you make them a part of your life, like I did in my life, they can bring you closer to God, as happened in my own personal life. I believe there are two simple words, as we'll see tonight, in an example, which have turned normal, average Christians and the godly people on fire for God. I believe there are two simple words which have allowed Christians, which we'll see tonight as well, to overcome spiritual obstacles and were the beginning of them coming on fire for God. These two words can make your Bible reading come more alive and your time in prayer with God more precious. What are these two words? I can't. I can't. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we need you tonight. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for how good you are to us. Thank you for saving our souls, Lord. I thank you for what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, I pray we understand tonight that we can't do it, but you can. We can't do it, get ourselves to heaven, but you could get us there through dying on the cross for us, Jesus. We can't live the abundant life, but with your power, we can. We can do all things through you and your strength, Lord. God, I pray you just give me wisdom, give me liberty, give me clarity of talk, clarity of thought tonight, Lord. I pray you just no distractions. We love you and thank you, Jesus. All this we ask in your precious holy name. Amen. Jesus told us that we can't do anything without him. That's prior verse in John 15 and Philippians 4:13 both mentioned. We can't do anything without him, but with him we can do everything. The question is, are we willing to admit tonight that we can't do it? Are we willing to admit, I know we say, oh yeah, I can't do it. God can do everything. But can we really search deep down in our hearts and truly admit, I can't do it, and willing to make our lifestyle, our attitude of a way, I can't do it, but God can. To get a good foundation tonight, let's start from the beginning. And a good place to start is always at the beginning. Turn with me to Titus 3, chapter 5, if you would. Titus 3, 5. Says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you're in this room and you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You're on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord. Man, that's awesome. Every day you wake up, you should be, praise God, I'm going to heaven. I can't believe it. A lot of times I'll wake up in the morning and be excited. My wife will throw a pillow at me and tell me to get out of the room or go back to bed. But I'm excited. I love being saved. I love serving God. I love being in the ministry. I love being here where I'm at. But listen, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we'd be in hell. Man, I tell you, listen, our works, no matter what we could do, no matter how hard we try to get to heaven before we were saved, we couldn't do it. But it was when Jesus Christ died on the cross, His death on the cross would save us. Listen, we couldn't get to heaven on our own. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do it, but He could. And in order to go to heaven, we had to come to the understanding that He's the only way to heaven. I go out soul winning. When I go out soul winning a lot, I know I go out with the bus teenagers there on Sunday afternoon. We have a blast. It's a blessing. Just seeing them grow, it's amazing. Seeing these teenagers just get them saved and they're on fire for God. Their lives change. It's amazing. I thank you for all those who invested so much time into these teenagers. And I also come in the afternoon and during the week with the teenagers here at the school. And I also thank you all so much for investing the time in these teenagers. It's amazing to see them grow. But we're out with these teenagers, and I come across a lot of times I'll be witnessing to somebody, and I'll say, sir, ma'am, if you die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? It's like, we'll go through the whole plan of salvation. And a lot of times I'll get stopped at one point. Well, I'm a good person. I mean, I never did anything seriously wrong. I never murdered anybody. I never committed any thievery. I'm not in the 10 most wanted. I'm not on the TV shows. I'm not in my name. My picture's not in the post office. I never did anything wrong. Because they can't admit that they can't. They can't admit that, man, no matter how good you think you are, we're a sinner. And listen, every single person in the room, if you're saved, you came to a point in your life when you realize, no matter how good I try to be, I can't do it. I can't get to heaven. No matter what I do, I can't get to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. But He can! And when I finally get to the point, at 21 years old, I was a sinner. I deserved the depths of hell, and He was the only way to heaven. Man, I asked Him under my heart to save me, and it was awesome. And by the first time in my life, my heart changed. Number one, I was going to heaven, but number two, I realized, I can't do it. I just can't. I tried for 21 years to do it on my own. I tried to do whatever the world said, whatever anybody said. It just didn't work. Then I realized what Jesus said. And I realized Mom was praying for me and I got saved. And I realized I couldn't, but He could. It's the foundation. It's what basically as Christians we start our salvation. And it all starts by realizing we can't, but He can. Romans 3:10 says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. As I mentioned before, the people, you got someone and they think because of their pride, they can't admit. But listen, that pride is an ugly monster. We all get filled up with pride. But when you come to the point as a lost Christian, you're on your way to hell and you ask Jesus Christ in your heart, you realize, I can't, but He can, which is amazing. Now, most of us in this room tonight, you're a saved Christian. You've asked Jesus Christ in your heart, but now, you walk every day just trying to do the good work, trying to be a good Christian for God, trying to do those good works just to be a good Christian. But you have to battle every day with that evil monster called pride. Every single day. It's all, no matter what you can admit it, you don't have to admit it if you don't want, but I know every single person struggles with it. It's in our flesh. We're filled with it. It's called pride, and we deal with it every single day. And that monster pride is exactly what keeps us as Christians from saying those words, I can't. Man, I'm a good person. Man, you see what happened up there, how those teens are on fire. You see what's going on in teen church. You see how Brother Don and Brother Kale, man, we all get along. We're all chummy. We're all best buds. Pastor Angel loves me. And it's a blessing, man. I can do it. No, I can't do it. Man, every day, Brother Angel's like, Jason, you did this wrong. You did this wrong. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can't do it. Duh. I mean, man, how hard we try, we can't do it. But listen, church family, we can't do it. But He can. We can't do it, but He can. And that pride, every once in a while, rears up inside and tells us, hey, I can do it on your own. I can do it on my own. I know Jesus Christ died for me. I know I'm a Christian, but I can do this. I don't need to pray as much. I don't need to read my Bible as much. Man, this isn't that big of a challenge. I can do it on my own. And then what happens? That's usually when, right before then, 2 seconds later, you usually fall flat on your face. Because we're so caught up in ourselves and God so wonderfully, because He's so amazing. Our God is so amazing. He reminds us, no, you can't, son. You can't do it, but I can. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He can. We can't do it, but He can. Luke 14:11 says, For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Tonight I go out soul winning a lot. I give this testimony of one of our teenagers, Jesus Garcia. See someone who gets saved and their life turned around, and they just want to be used. They're just like soft, they're pliable, like putty in your hands, because I believe he's come to the point of realizing I can't do it, but he can. And it's awesome to see. I think of Kyle Bielecki, another teenager in this room, talking to him. He's telling me some things are going on in his life. But I see talking to him, he's like, man, it's hard, but he stays faithful. He stays in the activities. He comes. I think of some of the other teenagers. I'm giving examples of teenagers because they're all around me all the time. And I just eat, breathe, and sleep teenagers all the time. Wake up and say, Lee Angel, I got to pray for today, you know, or something. Luke Angel or Tony Johnson. But man, I think of Jesus, back to Jesus' example. Man, we got someone, he listens to what I say. He tries to do best. Man, when he won his first soul, Lord, he was excited, on fire. A few weeks ago, we went to the trailer park. We're soul winning on a Sunday. Man, he went two doors. He went to the whole plane with two different people. And they didn't get saved, but I could see the frustration in his face when he came back. He said, Jason, man, they didn't get saved. I knew, man, he wants. He's trying for them to get saved. And man, there's someone who believed. And listen, I'll tell you this, teenagers, I don't care what people say. Teenagers can be used so mightily. They can be used so mightily of God. And they just understand, I can't, but he can. And I believe I was a teenager once. I understand what it's like. Some people say I haven't passed my two-year-old stage yet. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you something. I understand those teenagers. I remember those teenage years. I haven't forgotten them. I remember how much full of pride I was. Now, I wasn't saved back then. And I got humbled a lot. But I know, I look at some of these teens. I look at their faces. Maybe in school on Friday afternoon when I'm teaching Bible. Or on Tuesday afternoon soul winning with the church teens. Or maybe with Matt Payne, we go soul winning. Or Jared Montgomery, we're out there. And I see the look on their face like they want to do right. And they want to be used. And they're fighting that thing called pride because they're a teenager. Their hormones are going crazy. They're living under their parents, trying to do right by their parents. And they have, you know, trying to stay right. But listen, I think they come to the point, realize, I can and he can. They'll be used mightily. And I think that's going on with Jesus. I see that going on with Kyle Bielecki. Man, there's so many teenagers I can go off. It's just amazing. I was going to the airport yesterday with Pastor Angel, and he was telling me, we were talking about the teenagers, and he's like, brother, what do you think how the teens are doing? I was like, I think they're doing awesome, preacher. And, you know, there's some few, every now and then, a few scatterbrains are going off, and like, just get them back, you know, rein them in. But he's like, would you say the majority are doing great, like 2-1, 3-1? I was like, yeah, absolutely. 3-1, they're doing awesome. It's great to be around them, to see them on fire. And I would love to come to the point, to see all of them come to the point, realize, I can't, but he can. when we get that evil pride in our hearts, and we begin to think, let me say that again, when we get that evil pride in our hearts, and we begin to think that we can do it on our own, it's then that God needs to humble us. Maybe sometimes through challenges that seem impossible to us. One example of this was when God dealt with Jacob. Turn your Bible to Genesis 32, if you would. Genesis 32. Verses 6 and 7. We'll skip a few verses through there, but we'll start in verse 6. It says, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands. And go to verse 11. Deliver me, is Jacob talking, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And then go to verse 24 to 28. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. Jacob, if we see the story, Jacob is his brother Esau. Man, he hates his guts. least Jacob thinks that. I mean, if you go back to the way in the beginning of the story, Esau sold his birthright for some pottage, for some stew. And if you know anything about birthright, you got double portion. Man, you were a top kid in the family. I mean, everybody's like, yeah, number one son, double portion. Well, I get more than you do, ha ha. You know, sibling rivalry started from the birthright right there. But anyway, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a pot of stew. And the thing was, and then Jacob, I'm losing my train of thought here. He sold it for that. And then so Jacob's angry, or Esau's angry, and Jacob knows it. And his messenger comes back and says, Jacob, we're coming with a whole bunch of men. They're coming to kill you. He says, oh, no, I'm dead. And he goes there, and in verse 11, as it said, he said, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. You know what he's saying? God, I can't do it. I can't beat him. I've ran for so long. It ain't going to happen anymore. I don't know what to do. Good. God's saying, good, now it's about time. And then we see in 24 and 28, he wrestles with him. And then Jacob is changed. And the first life is no longer called Jacob, but he's called Israel. His whole life has changed. And he realizes, I can't do it. Good. God's saying, good, but I can. And he changes Jacob's life. And you see what happens when he faces Esau. That man was angry for so long. Angry at his brother, wanted him dead. What does Esau do? He doesn't kill him. He hugs him. He cries. He weeps. I bet Jacob is like, when Esau runs up to him and hugs him, he's like, I thought you wanted to kill me. You know what I mean? He's hugging him and weeping on him and kissing his brother and loving on his brother. Man, there was a change there. But Jacob was changed. And the thing was, Jacob realized, I can't do it, but he can. One example right there, how Jacob's pride was eventually, listen, something happens when God humbles us. And we get that pride, it just drains from us. And man, there's no more flesh, there's no more pride, it's just you and God. And you realize, wait a minute, God, I can't do this. There's no way I'm going to get through. How am I going to make the mortgage payment? Man, how am I going to raise the kids? How am I going to make it in my job? How am I going to make it as a youth pastor? How am I going to do that? This? How am I going to do that? I can't do it. Good. Good, God's saying, but I can. Lean on me. Rest on me. Because usually then, when you say you can't, it's when you lean on God. And that's where He wants you. Broken. Usable. So Jacob couldn't do it. But God could. And God delivered. Praise the Lord. The result of Jacob's challenge was he was a changed man from that point forward. Number one, his name was changed to Israel. Number two, he walked with a limp. Number three, he was a father of the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. The father of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was a changed man. Listen, something happens in your life. Yeah, you get saved. You get changed, number one. But when you get to the point in your life, when you make the decision in life, and your attitude has changed that I can't do it. God, I need you. I need to lean on you like I need air to breathe. I need you like I need to walk, like I need a light at nighttime to walk through the woods. God, I need you. Without you, I can't make it. It's then when everything changes, this book starts coming alive. The prayer life, the prayer closet becomes more sweet because you realize, I can't do it. Good, God's saying, good, but I can. It's then you get changed. It's then you get usable. Listen, Jacob was usable at that point. He was a changed man. God loves it when we get to the point where we can't because He knows then He can. He can. Another example that we'll see tonight of someone who, through circumstances, I believe God helped made him realize that God could, but he can't. Turn to the book of Judges, if you would. Judges chapter 6. Verses 2 to 5. It says here in verse 2, chapter 6 of Judges, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, in caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they engaged and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For they and their camels were without number. They entered into land to destroy it. All right, so we see here the story setting taking place here. The Israelites are running into caves. They're scared to death. You have these Amalekites, Midianites coming up to them. And the Bible says they're like grasshoppers. There's so many of them, you can't count them. And the Israelites are like, we're done. We're dead. I'll just hole up in a cave. Goodbye, house. Goodbye, everything. I'll be safe in this cave. And this cave's very nice anyway. It's nice and roomy in a cave. I can make little rock figures with rock on the wall. Maybe make fire with flint. It's not a bad deal. We'll say they're free. No. No, they're not saying that. Man, they're like, man, we're dead. We're history. It's over. I can't do it. So God raises up one man, Gideon. We'll go to verse chapter 7 of Judges in verse 2. It says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites unto their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. And then in verse 7, it says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that laugh will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto this place. Listen, God brought up a man, Gideon. Now I bet you Gideon was scared to death. Listen, gang, this guy was real. This really happened. It wasn't some make-believe story. Gideon was called by God to help deliver the Israelites from these grasshopper mounts of people. Gideon was so scared when he told him to get rid of his dad's sacrifices, altars. He did it at nighttime because he was afraid. I don't know the same thing. But listen, but Gideon, he was called. I'm sure Gideon was scared to death. But God said, listen, I don't want even people have the hint of an idea that you people did this on your own power. So I want you to make sure it's a small amount of army, Gideon, that you use to defeat these enemies. He knocked it down to 300 people. 300 people in Gideon were going to supposed to defeat amount of grasshoppers. Millions, thousands, I don't know, total huge amount of people. There is no way, anyway, after that defeat, there was no way anybody could have said that they did it on their own. It was impossible. The odds were too high. If anybody's ever been ever fought in battle, ever been in a war, ever been in any type of war, you'd understand when the odds are so great, man, it's almost like it's impossible. You have a negative attitude. You're like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to defeat the enemy? Listen, that might have been where Gideon was at, but God's like, listen, Gideon, I want you to understand. I don't want anybody to ever think that they said they could do it on their power. It was by my power it's done because you can't do it, but I can do it. And Gideon, you know what he did? He was faithful. Man, I love the story of Gideon because he probably was scared to death. He was going up against this humongous amount and this huge challenge in front of him. There was no way he could do it on his own. And he went and he did it anyway. He just went forward. He was faithful. Listen, how many of us, when we come across a challenge, do we stop? Case in point, and I didn't do this. The Lord brought this to me. It wasn't like I wrote this up purposely for this, but the building program. We got a huge project in front of us. I handle the finances. Pastor Angel has been so gracious to allow me to do that. And I know a lot what's going on. He's put me over it. And so I know kind of where we're at there. And it looks like a big challenge. Kind of like Gideon was facing. How many of us see the challenge? We're like, nope, we're running the other way. But he's preaching his heart, and I believe he's doing right. He's going slow. He's taking his time. He's following the word of God. We know the man's in God's will. We know the church is doing right. And man, we should even get behind our preacher. We should be behind our preacher and say, preacher, I know he can't do it. I know we can't do it, but he can. And listen, we should follow our preacher. Man, preacher, we need to have a building. We need to do it right. Use wisdom and be wise about things. But listen, maybe we can't do it, but he can. And maybe the reason why the cost is higher than it was before this other building came 5 years ago, maybe the reason the situation is different where there's more of a challenge, is maybe after it's all done, we'll say, how in the world did this happen? How did this happen? There's no way we could have done it. There's no way we could have got the 1.92 whatever million, whatever amount of money it was. There's no way we could have done it. But he did it. And every time we drive across that church building, he did it. He did it. Man, that should be like, I encourage you, if you've ever been in a situation in your life, we've all probably had them, where you were going up a mountain type of situation. You didn't think you could climb that mountain. You felt you had no power left. Like the choo-choo, I just couldn't do it. I don't think I can. You know, one of those situations. But God gets you through it. Remember that time. Remember that time when you couldn't do it, but he did it. Because that time was so sweet. Because you know what? The next time you're going through a valley, you got to go up a huge mountain, and you can't do it. He can. He can. He can. So we have a building program. We need to follow our preacher. We need to say, just do what's right by God. God's given us an awesome preacher. We need to follow in that building program. Let's apply this to our lives. How does this attitude of saying, I can't, going to change our Bible reading, improve our prayer life? Back in the introduction, I mentioned that I believe these two words, I can really change our prayer life. Well, let me tell you how. Let me give you an illustration. Say, for example, I was on a helicopter ride, and I'll choose something exotic. We're in Maui, all warm, because it's wintertime now. So we're all warm in Maui, yes! And we're over there, and the pilot is the deranged lunatic, and he throws us overboard, and we can't swim. So we're in the middle of the ocean in Maui. Now, of course, for some reason, we think we can swim. Maybe we didn't take our medication or something. But we think we can swim. We're in Maui. We're in the middle of the ocean. Nothing around us. And there's a life raft like a half mile away. But if we think we can swim, we can do it on our own, how precious is that life raft? Not that precious at all. I can do it. Man, I can swim a mile and a half. Man, I work out. I run every day. I put that donut to my mouth every day. Man, I work out. You know, but we think we don't. That life raft isn't that precious. That life preserve is not that precious to me because I can do it on my own. Now let's change the circumstances. You get dunked in that water again. You're in the water. You're drowning now, and you understand this time. I'm drowning. I can't swim. And you see that life raft, that life preserve, maybe a half quarter mile away. It's reachable, even though you can't swim. Very reachable. How precious is that life raft now? Man, it's like your best friend. You give every cent you had in your piggy bank for that life preserver. Why? Because you understand, I can't swim. Without that thing, I'm going to drown. I'm not going to make it without that life raft. Listen up, folks. This Bible's our life raft. The Word of God is our life preserver. When we go to God, He's our life preserver. Man, He saved us from hell. Man, if that's not enough, we should understand, no matter what the trial is, no matter what the circumstance is, I can't do it. But He can. He can. And this Bible, when you come to reading this Bible, Lord, give me something today. I don't know how in the world I'm going to change this teenager's lives. They're so stubborn. Of course, I'm stubborn too. That's not the point. But then, or how in the world, would I need something today from your prayer closet? You need something, and you're going, God, give me something. Because you understand you can't do it. Now, a person says, oh, I can do it. God's okay. I'm saved. I understand that, but I can do it on my own. How precious is the Word of God then? Not too precious. Well, I like reading the chapter because I feel like the doctrine tells me this, or, you know, one of those hi-ho guys that walk around like this all the time. But listen, when we understand we can't do it, this Word of God gets so precious. And when we're in our prayer closet, listen, if any of you ever had situations where you had a loved one have cancer, we know we had, in the prayer list mentioned about loved ones who had cancer, who had dealing with some things, struggling with some things, physically, maybe other things, emotional. And we go to the prayer closet, God, doctors tell me there's no way. There's no way they're going to live. There's too much cancer. There's no way. I think of Mrs. Carol Marriott. I was back when I used to go to Providence Baptist College and Northwest Bible Baptist Church in Elgin, Illinois. The Marriotts were a dear people. Brother Marriott worked on the buses. Calling Brother Payne does. Brother Lewis does. And Mrs. Marriott was a blessing, especially my wife. And now we hear she has cancer. I wonder what his prayer life is like in his prayer closet. God, the doctors tell me there's too much cancer. How in the world? I can't do it. I can't do this. How in the world are you going to change it? And you're begging God because you understand you can't do it. And sometimes it brings us through those things. I'm not saying it's the reason why all the time, but sometimes it brings us through stuff like that to make us understand, no, you can't, son. No, you can't, daughter. But I can. I can do it. You can't. Brother Poban, I know your back's going on. You're struggling with your back situation. I have no idea, but maybe one day you were laying down thinking, God, why is this going on with me? I got a family to feed, a family to support. How in the world am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? I can't do it. Good, God's saying, but I can. And He starts delivering. He's got the attitude of saying, I can't. And you hear that all through the church. I think of Bro Tom Griffey. Remember, he's a blessing to me, a good friend. And I know he was struggling for getting a job for a while. Not able to get a job. And it came to the point, the income he was on was starting to run out, was running out of time, running out of income. He was struggling, calling me every day. He said, Bro Jason, what about this job? What about this job? And I'm trying to help him because I used to deal with resumes back in my old life. So I helped him tweak his resume. And he's struggling. He's at the end of his rope. I mean, he was at the end where he was running out of his income. So I can't do it. I can't do it. What's going to go on, God? And all of a sudden, bang, he gets a computer job interview in Chicago. You should have saw. He came to Brother Caleb's in my office.
My God is God! I got a job interview! What am I going to do? I go over here! I go over here! Ah!
Calm down, brother. You're starting to sound like me. I'm like, calm down. I understand where you're at, dude, all the time. I'm like in 30 different directions, you know. But I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm like, brothers, calm down. Pray. I know I'm praying, but I'm calm. Don't tell me to be calm. I'm calm, you know. And Brother Griffin, he went and he got the job. Now I talk to him now. He's got a big smile on his face. You know, he's excited. Why? Because he got a job. But listen, I hope he learned something from that. He couldn't do it, but God could. Every single person in this room can tell you something tonight. Hey, I've been there, Brother Jason. I've been there, Brother Caleb, Brother Don, where I couldn't do it, but he could. Hey, Brother Ben. Where's Brother Ben? Ben Payne? Oh, there he is. Hey, Brother Ben. Sorry, I missed you. That gray kind of blends in with the pew there. Hey, Brother Ben, man, his knee's hurting. I know he decided to play basketball. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? My knee's hurting. I want to play basketball. And I know he don't see it on his outside. He hides it real well. Maybe he's struggling on the inside. God, why is this happening to me? I can't do this another year without basketball. Good, son. But I can. Maybe the Lord's preparing his heart. Maybe next year he'll go off to Bible college. And this trial he put him through might just change him. Not to do something. And I see the teenagers all the time. I see their hearts. And teenagers are going to put on a good facade, but I can see through it because I'm a fool like they are too all the time. And I understand what's going on in their hearts. And the Lord gives me wisdom too. I mean, it's not me. It's obviously all God. But I see some teenagers struggling every now and then. And I'll talk to them and they finally come out with what's really the problem. And I don't have more than half time. I don't have the answer. I don't know the answer. But I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray for you, sister. I know what's going on. I'm praying for you. And I'm just praying. Because I remember in my life, when I first was going through, when I first got saved, going through struggles, I had a brother who was messed up with some things. And now he's been delivered from all that. Praise the Lord. But I'm like, Lord, God, I can't do it. And I pray that to get to that situation, I understand, I can't do it. Good. Good, man. Good, sister. I know you can't do it. Good. Understand me. He can. Now get in your prayer closet. Read that Bible and find out how you can do it. He'll show you. Pray to him like you need air to breathe. Pray to him like you need that life preserver when you're drowning. Because he can. He can do it. And I love it when teenagers come to that point. Not that I'm a sadomasochist or anything like that. I like hurting people. But like I like the fact when they're at the point with it. Because I know at that point, they're broken. They're usable. They're like putty in God's hands. Like the clay in the potter's hands. And Jeremiah talks about it. And he can. He can use them then. Praise the Lord. where are we at here? God doesn't want us to be like the Laodicean church in need of nothing. He wants us to come to him empty and broken so he can use us. That's where he wants us to be. So let me ask you, what actually happens when you come to the point in your life, when you finally come to the point and realize you have the I can't attitude? The point you say, God, I finally realized that life went on. I can't do it. I can't get through the day without you. I can't get through the night without you. I can't raise my kids without you. I know Brett and Amy had a baby, and I don't think they're here tonight. But they're going to have some surprises. Like, I had some wonderful surprise. My wife and I with our first baby. I mean, the first time we had Hadley, she was crying. I'm like, what's wrong with her, honey? I don't know. Why are you asking me? I'm a first-time mother. I mean, the first night, she's crying like, oh, Lord. I can't do it. Oh, yeah, that's right, you can. Okay, we'll figure this out. And then God helped us through it. Praise the Lord. But listen, so what happens when you get this I can't attitude? What happens when you get to the point you realize I can't do it, but he can? You don't even realize when you get to the point, but you start realizing he starts using you. You don't even know it. Talk about the teen church. Brother Don talked about it. And a good friend of mine, a blessing to me, Brother Jeff Raritan, him up there preaching his heart out to those teenagers. You have a cyclical way we preach. Every other week we take turns preaching. Brother Don hogs most of the weeks, and then me and Brother Jeff, just kidding, Brother John. Me and Brother Jeff, that hates me now. Me and Brother Jeff kind of take the other ones, and we take turns, but every once a month he'll preach. He'll get up there and he'll preach his heart out to those teenagers. And he doesn't realize it, but God's using them. I'll be with the teenagers in the afternoon, and they'll be like, man, that message by Brother Jeff was awesome, man. And they'll talk the Spanish talk, like Lupe and Elizabeth do. I'm like, okay, settle down. You know, I think that's a different type of talk. I don't know what it is, but anyway, I don't know where that came from. But anyway, man, they're like, man, this prayer preacher about Jeff was awesome. And they're like, yeah, it was great what he preached on. Man, I need to change that. I need to fix it. Man, bro, Jason, you stink compared to him, you know. Praise the Lord, good. And, no, just kidding. But listen, when I see him preach, and he preaches his heart out to those teenagers, I believe maybe he's got in his mind, he can't do anything. He can't change that momentous bus route. He can't change the people in teen church. We know of a girl, him and I mutually know of a girl who's struggling with things, committed suicide a couple times. Tried to commit suicide a couple times. She reincarnated back. That's what happened. It's in there, somewhere in Second Opinions chapter 1, I don't know. Anyway, okay. Almost time rotation now. Anyway. Oh my goodness. Praise the Lord. A rookie mistake. Man, a girl I know, she attempted now to commit suicide a couple times. And her home life is disgusting. It's horrible. And I'm like, I'm probably like he is. What do you do? What do you say to her? And praise the Lord, I had a mom and dad who loved me with all their heart. They did everything. They worked. My dad worked two jobs. Both my mom and dad to get us through high school or get us through college and help us out when we needed it. I never had a dad who abused me, took advantage of me. My parents were awesome. I can't tell. I don't know what to do. He could say the same thing. What do you do, man? What do you say? How do you help her? And you don't like to hear that. You hate to hear stuff like that. And teenagers, especially, they're just helpless, you know, vulnerable. I'm like, why does a monster do some wicked thing like that? Oh, I don't think it's any matter than someone taking advantage of someone like that. But just situations she's in her home life, things are going on there. What do you say? And listen, he preaches and things like that are going on. He has situations like that going on throughout the whole the room. Some are doing good. Some are having situations, issues. But I hope he understands. I think he understands. I can't do it. I can't change these teens. I can't change the momentous bus route. I can't change anything. But he can. He can. I can't do it, God. And man, maybe he's going that morning before he preaches, or the night before he's doing his devotions. I have no idea. I don't know about his personal spiritual life. But maybe he's doing his devotions. Say, God, I can't preach this. I don't know how this message is worthless. My own speaking is stupid. I don't have good jokes. I lose my thing all the time here. Whatever this thing is called. Praise the Lord for technology. Hold on. I'm sorry. All right, man, I can't do it, but he can. He can. God can do it. And he's begging God for something, and then he preaches, and things happen. I mean, you see tears coming down teenagers' eyes. You see the altar full. And then you see teenagers coming back next week. I mean, I know of one girl, Ashley Robinson, I'll mention her name because I know she's doing awesome, or she was doing better. She's doing better than she was when he first met her. She never smiled on the bus. He would say, faithful, knock on the door, faithful, 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 faithful. Now she smiles all the time when she comes. Big, huge smile. Why? But he couldn't do it. I hope he understands. God, I can't do it, but you can. Listen, gang, I encourage every single person, get into ministry. I can't, Brother Jason, I can't do a ministry. I mean, I work 9-to-5 job, Monday to Friday. It's what I do is work on this. It's what I do. I can't do anything. Exactly. God's like, yes, yeah, where I want you. Well, you can't do what I can. He's the one with some big shot walking in. I look at Pastor Angel said. He was going over with Brother Caleb and I and doing the radio ministry on Tuesday. And he was kind of giving an introduction and talking about the radio ministry, introduced Brother Caleb and I and talked about us as staff and Brother Don and everything there. And Brother Jorge, and he was saying that we're not any amazing people. We're not super giants. We're just men who just understand that we need to get in our Bible every day. We need to get in our Bible every day, read the Word every day, beg God every day, because we're sinful flesh just like the next guy. That's why I love my preacher so much. Because he understands. He's a humble man. He understands. If he gets out of that book, he's done. I know Brother Vineyard said it. Person gets away from the Word of God for 30 days, he's capable of doing anything. I believe that with all my heart. And our preachers believe the same way. I know he believes God. If he just gets out of God's Word, gets out of praying, things are done downhill. I mean, and this isn't a message at all to lift up Pastor Angel. It's not the point of my message. But when I was in Bible college, he was my favorite chapel preacher.
So I remember a couple times I'd go to him when I was just dead tired from working all night and then coming to school the crack of dawn and just tired. I couldn't see straight. I was IV with Dunkin' Donuts to stay alive. And praise the Lord, Eric and Jake, you know what I'm talking about, brother, and Abby, and the rest of the Bible college students are in here. And I go to Pastor Angel and just saying, and I remember talking to him one time saying, Brother Angel, I'm nothing. I see all these people with pedigrees. They have, you know, they're third generation Christian. I'm a first generation. I don't know anything about this stuff. I'm not a huge Bible scholar. He just looks at me and says, Brother, just get in the book. If you get in the book, he'll change you. I understood something, Pastor Angel, that day. He's just nothing. He's awesome. I love him all my heart. But he knows that if he didn't stay in this book and stay in this word and stay close to God, he's nothing. He's done. Because I believe he understands that he can't, but God can. And like I said, if you start understanding that, having the I can attitude, then you realize he's using you. I can tell you about so many people in this church who've been a blessing. I see the way that my wife and I consider us pretty young parents. We have Hallie's 3, Caleb's 1, and he's having a whole handful, right, babe? And we have another one on the way. And we look around. We watch different parents. Every now and then I'll talk to Pam, you know, when I'm doing accounting. So, Pam, what do you do about this with your kids? Okay, write down what you said, quote verbatim. Okay, got that down, store for later. You know, I see people who have done things, parents who've done well with their kids, raised their kids well, and doing a good job. And I ask them things. Well, Kelly, I'm sure, talks to wife. Every night I come home, she's like, I talked to Mrs. Smith today, and we were talking about the kids. She's telling me some things, and it was so good, honey. I'm expecting to write stuff in her journal. You know, she has volumes of journals of all the people who told her things. Things of Kellyanne Munkowski, you know. Things I've learned by Kellyanne Munkowski. And why we're doing that, because we see people, parents who've done well with their kids. And we understand we can't do it, but he can. But we also be wise about things, understand we want to do things right and try to train up the child the way he should go. And do things right with our kids. Because I can't do it. I don't know how to raise my kids. I have no idea. Caleb, man, he's on fire. Over here, over there. Like, hey, boy, stay still. Oh, here, like your daddy. Okay, keep going. You know? I mean, and Hallie, she's a doll. She's a dream. But they're two, I mean, totally opposite ends of the spectrum. I'm like, Lord, please a number 3 be a girl. Like a Hadley. Only a Hadley 2. You know, Hadley Jr. You know? And I know if a lot of you have children, you know what I'm talking about. You have kids, they're one over here, and they're all way on different ends of the spectrum, and you see you're having a bad day, like, Lord, I can't do this. Good! Good son, good daughter, but I can. Keep looking at me, keep leaning on me, you'll be like, buddy, I'll change you. You'll see things happen. You keep praying to me, coming to your prayer closet, begging God, begging me to do something, and you know what's going to happen? I'm going to start using you. Your kids are going to start doing well. They're going to start going to King's Kids and telling all the memory verses they learned. And your son's going to start saying thank you. And he's going to give you a heart attack when he actually says please for something. And you're like, oh my goodness, things are happening. Wow. Because he can. And he is. And he will. I can't, but he can. Listen, I can use an example. Brother Don, you're going to be God for a second, okay? This is what God doesn't want us to come to him. God, I'm coming to you. I need a new car. I know you can give me one because you love me. I'm all right in your book. So give me a car, would you? Thanks a lot. See you later, bud. No, he doesn't do that. This is the way God wants us to go, all right? I'm not going to crawl and embarrass myself, but this is what God wants us down here on our knees. Saying, Lord, I can't do this. I can't. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to with my family with what's going on. Please help me. Please. I can't. That's our prayer closet where it should be. Humble. Broken. And what happens when he does? What happens when you can't do it? You understand that he can and things start happening and you don't understand why. And all you can do is just praise God. Because there's no other way to explain it. Scientifically, physically, morally, whatever. You can't explain it. But God, God did it. He's the only way. He can. He did. I'll close with this verse. Luke 14:11. I started there and I'll go back there. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I really believe in my heart that pride is the thing that stops us from saying, I can't. But when you get humbled and you really come to the place, God, I can't do it. I can't do this. And you're really weeping and say, Lord,
Like, let me give an example of soul winning. You go soul winning. God's want you soul winning, saying, okay, I got to put my hour and a half in. Let me knock on the door. You want to come to church? No, okay, great. You want to come to church? No, okay, great. You want to get saved? No, okay, great. Okay, I got to go home. Got to watch my game. The Giants is on. Or that Miracle Molly doll thing is on. Or whatever that show is on tonight. A couple people have mentioned to me. I'm not going to mention names. But anyway, but listen, he doesn't want us doing that. When he went soul in, he says, if you start weeping, you're begging, you're gonna bring your sheaves with you. Man, God, I need a soul. I want someone to get saved in my life. I want to see someone change. I would love to have a brand new Christian, spiritual child, see someone get changed and to help them grow, get them in Brother Caleb's discipleship class, get them on fire. Please, 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 get me someone. And you go to that door, maybe in your lack of faith, thinking nothing's gonna change. I'll give them a track and they'll close the door in my face. You give them a track, sir? Man, my name is Jason. I'm from Faith Baptist Church. If you die today, would you go to heaven? No, I don't think I would go to heaven. Well, and then you're like shocked, you know, like, oh, he didn't close the door yet. Okay, can I show you a verse? Yeah. Really? Yeah, he can show me a verse. And you sit him down, he goes to the whole plan of salvation, and lo and behold, he gets saved. What's the difference? How in the world that happens? Like, last week, I was just going, knocking doors, they all slammed the door in my face. Why? Because in your prayer closet, you're saying, God, I can't do it. I can't see someone say it. I can't do it, but I need you. I need you to change the hearts. I need you to prepare the hearts. I want to knock on the door. I want to see someone get saved. And when you knock on the door and someone gets saved and they ask Jesus Christ in their heart to save them, you see a life change, the only thing you can say, it was God. It was God. He's the only one that can do it. There's no other way. There's no explanation. There's no other reason. Listen, God saved, Jesus Christ saved my soul. I'm here because of His grace. He did so much in my life. It's a miracle I married that beautiful woman over there. I don't know why I have such wonderful kids. But every day I come to that prayer closet and say, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. This is too much, greater than I can bear. Good. Good, son. But I can. Start leaning on me. I'll give you what you need. I'll give you your daily needs. We can't do it, but He can. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Ask you all a question tonight. Try to talk slower. Try to slow down a little bit. But ask you all a question tonight. If you can say in your heart, Brother Jason, I've been struggling with things. I've been maybe full of pride, not really going to prayer closet, not really asking God, not really believing He could. Or maybe just so much on my own flesh, thinking I could do it on my own. If that's your prayer tonight, why don't you come to the altar tonight when the music plays in a little bit? Why don't you come to the altar tonight and say, Lord, I'm going to make a change. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to come to that place in my life where I understand I can't, but You can. And make it real in my life. Not just a saying, but make it real. My whole attitude, my whole heart changed. Or if your prayer is tonight, Brother Jason, I believe I'm there. Or I believe I'm trying. I think I've gotten to the point where I believe I can't do it, but God can. Please help me to stay there. Stay in that sweet place. Keep me broken. I know it's hard. I don't like trials. I don't like when bad things come. But I understand when the bad things come at times, they keep me usable. And I pray that if that's your prayer, to continue to stay where you are, come to the altar. And finally, I know this wasn't a salvation message tonight, but if there's someone in this room tonight who understands they're not on their way to heaven, or if they die today, they don't know where they go. They don't know where they go if they died. They need to be saved. Why don't you come to Brother Caleb? Say, Brother Caleb, I need to be saved tonight. Someone needs to be baptized. You're saved, but you're not baptized. Why don't you settle it tonight? And if you need a good church home, there's none better than this, in my opinion. Faith Baptist Church. Why don't you come and ask us to join the church? As music plays, if any of those three things burden your heart, why don't you come?